Our scripture reading this morning is found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9, a living hope. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us new birth into living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God for the people of God. Amen. We hear the gospel reading, John 20, chapters 19 through 31, when Jesus appears to the disciples, and then there's more. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." And now about Jesus and Thomas. But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet come to believe." This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
Please. I'd like to begin my sermon with sharing with you a story about a great circus performer. Some of you might remember this story either from me in my past sermons or from some other preachers somewhere. Charles Brandin was a French tightrope walker, an acrobat who achieved international fame in the mid-19th century. He was known for crossing the Niagara Gorge on a tightrope when touring the United States. During high winds and without a safety net, he walked, ran, and even danced across the tightrope to the amazement and delight of the large crowd of people who watched. Once, he took a wheelbarrow full of bricks and amazed the crowd by pushing it effortlessly across the cable from one side of the gorge to the other. Blondin then turned to the crowd and asked, "Now, how many of you believe that I could push a person across the wire in the wheelbarrow?" The vote was unanimous. Everyone cheered and held their hands high. They all believed he could do it. Then asked Blondin, "Would one of you please volunteer to be that person?" As quickly as the hands went up, they went back down. Not a single person would volunteer to ride in the wheelbarrow and to trust his or her life to Blondin. This story can be an excellent illustration that shows the difference between belief and faith. Spectators watch a rope walker across Niagara Gorge with a wheelbarrow and believe he can do it. This is simply belief. Furthermore, faith is agreeing to get into that wheelbarrow yourself. Generally and commonly, the primary difference is that belief is typically an intellectual or mental acceptance of a fact, while faith involves active trust, commitment, and often action based on that belief. Another illustration would be a parachute. You can believe that this parachute works and will save a jumper's life. Better yet, faith is your own act, strapping it on and jumping out of the airplane. See the difference? Simply put, belief is an intellectual or mental agreement, and faith is active trust and wholehearted commitment. But this distinction is significantly clarified in English language, probably mostly United States context. Have you ever seen any mortgage paper or any business contract document with the phrase good faith, such as good faith estimate? This term good faith is a contract requires parties to act with honesty, sincerity, and fair dealing, ensuring they do not undermine the agreed upon benefits for the other party. It is an implied duty in most contracts prohibiting deceptive acts, fraud, or unfair advantage taking. Yes, in this society, especially in business, finance, and many other essential deals and interactions, the mutual relationship based on good faith requires active trust and serious commitment beyond just understanding and expectation. However, interestingly, here is a very important point. The Bible uses faith and belief interchangeably. The main reason is that the original Greek of the New Testament, they stem from the same root word, pistis, noun, meaning faith, and pisteo, teo, meaning to believe, is a verb. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word emuna is often described through terms related to faith, trust, obedience, and the fear of God. Thus, considering this context, both terms, belief and faith, describe an active, continuous, vital trust or commitment to God rather than merely intellectual agreement. So, when you read the Bible, if you encounter with the word believe or belief, you must realize that those ancient Bible writers meant to convey these words with the same meaning of faith. Just as the writer of the Hebrews describes, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This is the best definition of faith in the Bible. In this morning's Gospel of John passage, the risen Jesus meets his fearful disciples, transforming their doubt into faith through his presence. He brings peace behind locked doors, empowers them with the Holy Spirit, and blesses those who believe without seeing. We are also called to receive his peace, live out our mission, and trust in him. The gospel includes one of the most famous stories, the story of doubting Thomas and Jesus. Unlike other disciples, Thomas could not believe that Jesus is risen from the dead. In verse 25, Thomas says, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, when Thomas met with Jesus in person, Jesus wants to give Thomas some assurance. In verse 27, Jesus says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." This is the crucial moment of Thomas, whose heart is being transformed by Jesus' words. Verse 28, Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Here are very important questions for you based on the Bible context. Did Thomas actually reach out his hand? No. Did Thomas really put his hand in Jesus' side? No. Did Thomas' fingers truly physically touch Jesus' mark of the nails? No. See, the Bible never mentions that Thomas ever physically attempted to verify Jesus any mark of nails or any other proof or anything else. Many Bible commentators suggest that Thomas was likely shocked and humbled by Jesus' condescension and grace in offering the proof he demanded. Yet, no proof checking was necessary for Thomas. Instead, Thomas immediately confessed, "My Lord and my God." His confession was an act of surrender of his heart, rather than a successful scientific experiment or verification. And I believe the last verse is the key verse here. Verse 29, Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. These words of Jesus were not limited to the doubting Thomas, but to all of us who follow Jesus today and beyond. Yes, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. Interestingly, according to the Revised Common Lectionary, both passages of John and 1 Peter this morning are included together for today's worship on the second Sunday of Easter. Peter proclaims this profound point about having faith in Jesus. 1 Peter 1:8 says, "Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy." Yes, biblical concept of faith is not just accepting facts. It is actively committing yourself to God. So, how can you have this faith? Faith that helps you to be mature, strong, and resilient. Where does this faith come from? There might be many Bible verses that teach you on this, but one of the most important verses is this. Apostle Paul boldly proclaims in Romans 10:17, "So faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes from through the word of Christ." Yes, through the word of Christ. 1 John 5:4 also emphasizes the power of faith if you want to have victory in this world. Because everyone who is born from God defeats the world, and this is the victory that has defeated the world, our faith. This morning we reaffirmed our faith through reciting the Apostles' Creed that begins with, "I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth." It continues with, "I believe in Jesus Christ." And finally we conclude with, "I believe in the Holy Spirit." Yes, this is the traditional Apostles' Creed. A creed is a formal statement of Christian belief, a confession of faith, or a guiding principle of beliefs. It originated from the Latin word credo, meaning "I believe." This confession underscores the same meaning of both belief and faith in our Christian context, signifying your active and living faith with built-in commitment and love in actions. Notice that this Apostles' Creed begins with "I believe" to emphasize personal commitment, individual faith responsibility, and the direct relationship between the believer and God. Within the faith, while the faith is communal, the creed highlights that each person must personally trust in God, with the "I" representing the individual connecting to the broader church. Furthermore, if without your living faith, without any actions, your faith would be dead. This is the warning James has given us. So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you are truly and seriously willing to follow Jesus by connecting to and dwelling in his words to develop your faith through toward your spiritual maturity and to bear fruit, you are in luck. Especially this morning. Today, you all are invited to join one of the new and exciting 5 small group Bible study groups with our 5 amazing and committed leaders. I sincerely invite and highly recommend you please sign up for one of these 5 small group Bible study groups. After this service, inside the fellowship hall, while enjoying coffee and donut, you have an opportunity to join a Bible study, and you will get to meet and greet all 5 Bible study leaders in person at the tables. On this photo from the left, James Heron, Richard Rajaratnam, Brent Levine, Lucinda Edmonds, and Sophie Wise. These amazing leaders will answer all your questions about how to join the Bible study groups and everything and anything about each Bible study. So please do not pass over this life-transforming opportunity. Prophet Isaiah proclaims, and this is the reality, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Jesus himself also emphasizes that this is the truth. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Yes, the word of Christ is eternal, and it is the word of life that can transform you and your life forever. But it has the power only when you believe it. Last Sunday, we joyfully celebrate the resurrection of Christ Jesus together, yet you have this resurrection faith and resurrection power working in your heart and life. And I'd like to conclude my sermon with Apostle Paul's encouragement for you all in Colossians chapter 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom and with gratitude in your hearts. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And the following and final verse, let's all say together, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Thanks be to God. Amen.